we are in nature, and we took a little bit of a hike. Yesterday it rained a great deal, and today there's just an occasional sprinkle. Got our shoes wet, feet wet, walking out where we are, and our guest is seated in a tree. So we've already been talking about some important issues and thinking about things, but being in nature kind of reminds us, you know, just to connect with what is natural too. So feels great being out here. And our guest is Whitney, who's a good friend of mine who I'd met not long ago. One thing I really appreciated right away was how open Whitney was talking about things she was learning. And it happened to be a lot of things that were interesting to me as well that seemed really healthy. So she agreed to share some of that, and maybe we can take a moment and just, if you can hear, there's some water streaming by and there's some birds, we could just pause for a moment, listen. Well, it was very cool because I woke up and I had this word on my mind, gratitude, and just felt very important. And I guess it had been feeling important to Whitney for a while now. Is that something we could talk about?
Definitely.
Like, what has it meant? What have you been learning about gratitude?
I'd been hearing about it for a little bit here and there for a couple years. I had a friend who sent me to a week-long seminar type deal with Jack Canfield. Jack Canfield is like he wrote The Chicken Soups for the Soul and all that. And one thing that he mentioned for the first time that I was hearing was, you know, start a gratitude journal, or every night, you know, write 10 things you're grateful for. And I tried it for like a day, you know, because it was the first time I heard about it. I didn't really think about it too much, but it planted the seed of kind of thinking it was interesting and what it could do for you. Another thing he taught me was it takes 30 days to establish a habit. So 30 days was really what I needed to do it for. But then life goes on, and then I met somebody else who suggested it to me, and I didn't do it. And then later on I met a friend who just seemed like she was thriving, and she said that she had been, you know, it's part of her daily practice to write in a gratitude journal, and there was another seed planted, or she watered that original seed of hearing about it. And then, I don't know, something clicked in me recently. When you go through a lot of pain and you face a lot of pain, you start connecting to some of the things that are inside of you. And I decided that it's my number one goal to meditate, and part of that is being grateful, and being grateful is part of it. And I've kind of just been experimenting with it and starting a gratitude journal, and for probably 3 weeks now, and it's amazing because that's where it's at. That's all I gotta say, is that's where it's at, is being grateful. There's no words to describe it, but if I had to describe it to somebody in order to make them think about it or plant the seed, it would be that it would solve all your problems. But again, that's not really true, and it's, you know, there's no words for it. But to describe the process of it, it was interesting. About a week ago, I started loosening up, because at first I would just like write, okay, I'm grateful, like obviously I should be grateful for this, I should be grateful, and I am grateful for it, but I'm not used to thinking about it. And then And then last week I started just really being grateful, and the things I was grateful for started being a little bit different. They weren't things that directly contributed to me that I thought, but it was things like breathing, or that the flowers were in bloom, or that it rained, that we needed the rain, and started just, I don't know, being grateful for easier things rather than big things. And then I started noticing here and there I'd be grateful for the things that were challenging, the things that were hard for me. And that was really cool. I noticed it and I was just like, wow, that connects me to my life. Instead of running away from my life, I feel connected to all of these things, the good and the quote unquote bad. And it's funny, I stopped doing the gratitude journal like 2 days ago, and then I met this guy, this older gentleman, and he just started talking about it. He said, the best thing you can do for yourself is be grateful. And I felt like it was just a connection to the universe in a way, and just reminding me just to keep going in that direction. So I would, I'm not really sure how it works because it's mysterious, but I would encourage people to start thinking about it. And his suggestion was better, or not better, but it was good, because sometimes it's hard to, when you're really tired at the end of the day, to sit down and write down stuff. But you don't need to be regimented. What he suggested is just 10 minutes, just lie in bed and appreciate things. And you can start just by appreciating the comfort of your pillow, or that you can close your eyes after a really stressful day, or just whatever you're grateful for, and do that for 10 minutes. And he described it as important because you're setting your intention subconsciously for the next day. And when you're sleeping, your mind is doing a lot of work repairing, especially your subconscious mind. And so if you can get into that grateful intention and that mode, then you'll sleep better and you'll wake up the next day just like a lot of things subconsciously figured out in the right way. And then he also suggested 10 minutes in the morning, first thing when you wake up, is just practice being grateful. He's mentioned 30 days too, so I don't know if he knew about the habit forming thing. But he said, just do it for 30 days and see how you feel. And he said, you'll notice, you'll start to be grateful for, you know, the quote unquote negative things. And I just thought it was really amazing that he was saying that. And he said, even during the day, you'll start to notice that it permeates into your day. You'll start just being grateful. And that's better than being anxious. And he was just spreading the wisdom of it, he said.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm going to start doing it. Well, we talked for a while, and I'm going to skip ahead because Whitney told of an important time in her life. She had felt she was at an emotional and mental rock bottom, she calls it, and describes what helped her to feel healthy and to rise up out of that.
I guess you could call it suicidal. There's different degrees of that word, because some people just thought, people get so stressed out. Your brain, all your brain does is problem solve. So when you get really stressed out, naturally your brain is going to come to a different solutions. You're going to keep... And one solution is, why don't I just kill myself? That's all it is your brain thinking of solutions. Mm. And so there's just the thought of it that comes up. Like maybe some people have never had the thought. And I remember the first time I had the thought, I was like, whoa, that's a thought to be taken seriously, in the sense that I need to start looking for other ways of solving my problems if my brain is going to think that that's appropriate.
Yeah, and you wonder how did I get to this?
Yeah, it's a very, so if anybody is thinking, ever thinks that, take it seriously, not in the sense of doing it, but take it seriously in the sense that there is, your mind and your body is begging you to figure something out, that you need to start taking the time to listen to that. Because then it can get worse, and sometimes that's just your rock bottom, and rock bottom is necessary for some people, like me, or like different people at different times in life. You're just so unaware that you need rock bottom to say, hello, you know, that it's time to stop being a fake person or stop not living your life, because that's not the point. Of life. The point of life is to live your life. So, I don't know how it happened, but it spun lower and lower and lower. So where you think the thought more and more and more, and then, I hit an all-time low where this never happened to me, where I actually like planned it. So that is like, that's another, like, for me was like a huge thing, because in reality it's like, no, you can't do that to your friends and family. And I was put onto this earth for my purpose, my struggle, and even if it is a struggle, it's like my job, that's why I'm here. So I can't just like clock out, you know, because it's not gonna stop at that point. I just believe that it's not going to stop. So it just, for me, just turned up the heat and helped me start realizing that I needed to create different pathways in my mind, and I started just seeing all of the things that were causing this negative thinking, which was stress, not being authentic, and all of these things that were my life's job, but I wasn't doing my job, which was finding balance, respecting myself and respecting other people, and learning this fine balance of life that becomes really fun, because it's okay to make mistakes. But it's fun to just learn how to balance on life. And then that's when life becomes really fun, and you get connected and you start understanding things, and you even understand why you were depressed. That it was all for a reason, and it's not chemical, and it's not your fault, and all of this crap that is going on in, I guess you would call it, like most psychology or whatever. I don't know. Because I don't want to stereotype, because there's a lot of people that we're just going through a social revolution, I guess. But all that stuff is way too deep to talk about.
Yeah, there may be those factors, and for some people, they'll be needing to address those factors. But yeah, you did start earlier with me talking about just the state that a lot of us have wound up in. Maybe born into it, but at some point it can really wear on a person, especially if they're not getting to feel like themselves, or they're not getting to do things they love, or they're not connecting with what's natural.
Yeah.
There's all these different, all this phenomenon going on, and I do believe people are starting to recognize that, recognize what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause a lot of people are depressed now, and it was kind of like everybody has their own version of rock bottom. I just like that phrase. I feel like it helps people understand. And I'm not afraid of rock bottom. I'm not afraid of seeing people getting close to rock bottom, because I know it's just kind of like turning the fire up for something that in their life that they need to do.
I feel like people should be encouraged, because that can be like a beginning of really a rich life experience. Mm-hmm. A lot of people reach that point where they, you know, their mind kind of comes up with, you know, a possible solution, right? So they're thinking, okay, I want this all to end. Well, it's that point when most people have what I would consider a rebirth. And in a way, all of the things that weren't serving them, well, they are put to an end.
Yeah.
But they didn't do something harmful. Mm-hmm. These people had a recognition of what was not good for them. You know, and they had to really focus on what was healthy for them. Right. And then it's really a rebirth. Mm-hmm. And then someone may see you and they may say, hey, you don't seem like the same person I knew a year ago. Mm-hmm. They haven't seen you, and you may not be the same person.
Yeah.
You know, you've sort of risen up. And that was probably a hard place to be. It's really an opportunity to focus on.
Yeah.
Focus on having.
And I really,
joy.
Yeah.
And it's possible. Like, it's entirely possible. And that's probably what's hard, is when it doesn't feel possible for people. You
exactly.
know, because in that state, it just feels heavy, I imagine.
Yeah, there's, like, no oxygen in that area. It's hard to breathe.
I mean, I like to encourage people to have a miracle. I feel like we have miracles all the time, and rising out of that state, to me, is, like, a major miracle. I personally don't believe it's all on us either. I believe we're helped.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a time to just call out. Like in Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the most important steps for people is to sort of recognize their higher power and recognize, like, that they're asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they're amazed at the results. And it's like, whoa, I never was able to do this before. And I have to say, so when it comes to if anyone was feeling like rock bottom, and if they, you know, if their mind did go to that place that, you know, was considering things like suicide, that definitely seek out the help you need.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe professional help.
Right.
And could be people you trust.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend going to somebody that is either trained or somebody that will not judge you.
Mm.
Because in that state, you don't need that. I specifically did not go to people who, even if they were my closest relatives, I did not go to those people. And I even utilized hotlines.
Okay.
And those people are trained, and I would assume most of them are just very empathetic people in general anyway. And they will give you the good direction when you don't know which way to go in. So definitely utilize those resources and help get some help.
Yeah.
It could be friends who are this type of person, who knows what anxiety is or knows what depression is. A lot of times people isolate themselves, which I have done. So I didn't have any friends that I felt comfortable telling that to. And that's fine. I called hotlines because I knew that I needed to address this thinking that was going on. And one time I called a hotline and they just got me. I talked to them for 10 minutes, you know. I didn't know what they were going to say because I'd never called one before. And I just talked to them for 10 minutes. And all it did was make me realize that today is one day and I can get through today. And I had no idea how I was going to do it. That's why I called. It's like, yeah. It's just so weird that could happen to a person, but it happened to me as I didn't know how I was going to get through the day. This suicide hotline, as scary it was for me to realize that I was actually calling a suicide hotline, like, whoa, like, whoever thought that would be a part of their life, you know? You know, and I don't want that for anybody, but it's, if that's where you're at, then I mean, it's not about not wanting it for anybody. It's a good thing. It's reality. Use the community because they do want to help and they can help.
And I believe you were gentle with yourself and you put yourself on a path, basically. From that point, what did you choose to do?
So in that state of confusion, I had to really think about how to get out of that. So one thing to address my black and white thinking that was taking over was to give myself time. Because if you're thinking about suicide, you're kind of like, oh, should I do it now? Or should I do it in an hour? Or should I do it, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. You know, it's because it's like, at that point, that's what stops you is how ridiculous it is. You know, the ridiculousness of it, of the actual planning of it. In order to address this weird limbo state that I was in, was to give myself a timeline. It was just a timeline that I temporarily needed that doesn't apply to me anymore, but at the time I told myself, okay, so I have some seriously like negative pathways in my brain, negative thinking, that this pathway keeps saying that that's the answer, and all it is one path. That's what problem solving is there's many paths, and you can even create new paths all the time if you just focus on it. And that's the purpose of the brain, is to solve problems. But I have this like thick pathway in my mind that keeps saying, oh, okay, well, you can just kill yourself. There's no other option. And that's just not true. So I gave myself a 10-year time limit. And if I still felt this way in 10 years, then I gave myself the permission to go ahead and start thinking about suicide again as an option. So I said, okay, so I have 10 years to figure out other solutions to whatever this problem is. And the problem, I decided, was the pathway itself in my brain, which I liken to being as thick as the Grand Canyon. And it is a lot of work, but I gave myself 10 years to start making a new pathway, which is a little tiny stream at first. But the reason why I gave myself 10 years is because at first, you know, you easily fall back into the Grand Canyon because it's so much bigger than forging a new stream. So I needed that timeline at that time. And within a couple weeks, I still felt really bad. I kept falling into the Grand Canyon, and I might even stay there for a couple days and then realize, oh yeah, I can go back onto the stream that I started, and it'll feel good for like 5 minutes because I'm working on this like cool new way of thinking, and then fall back into the Grand Canyon. But within a couple weeks, I did notice that I didn't have any more thoughts of suicide. Like I said, I still felt bad because I was still in the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon just takes you to negative thinking. So I'm still doing all this negative, stressful, cortisol-inducing thinking that's keeping me in a state of fight or flight, which was the problem, is the thinking. But it obviously was starting to work because I no longer had recurring and intense thoughts of the answer being suicide. I just started realizing all the other pathways, and it was still really hard and stuff, but it's because the pathways were new. They were new pathways, and But at that point, it was more about the pathways and stuff. It's not about, I didn't mark on my calendar 10 years from now, reevaluate, you know. You become occupied with life instead of that. But maybe a time limit, something like that, can help people realize that that is their first and foremost goal, is to change their pathways in their mind and to be kind, because it's not going to happen in one day, and it's not going to happen in 1 year, and it may not even happen in 10 years, but when you start working on it, you basically turned your life on instead of off. It's like a whole different thing.
Yeah. So. Well, and a person can have, I believe, like phenomenal relief in an instant, if not a short time.
Yeah.
So have that too. It's like, definitely. I like to say, have the miracle in your life. And I believe you recognize that the way of thinking, like you call it the path of your mind, like that had been like reinforced very heavily in your mind, was just deep and very, it was very easy to stay in that state, in that way of thinking, but you were giving your attention to it and then making a choice to think differently, to just be in a different state. And it probably helped that you acknowledged, that it took work, takes work.
Yeah, and then you balance the work with kindness to yourself. So yeah, it's a lot of work. Whew, it's stressful, whatever. Even like the meditating and all of that stuff, it's stressful in its own way, because just for, I don't know why, it's a practice, and it's a change. Changes are difficult. But then in the moments where you're not working, you be kind and you recognize how far you've come. And so one thing I actually do on top of the gratitude journal or gratitude time is I also do a success journal. And the successes are whatever your successes are. What feels successful to you is that you talk to somebody even though you felt uncomfortable. That sometimes I have successes like that. Or I got on stage and played music even though I had extreme stage fright. That's a big one. Or I went to the store to get food. Sometimes that's a success for me whenever I have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
and I just have to be kind to myself and say, that is a success.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that is a success. And it's kind of like the gratitude journal. The success journal also is just a way of, it's actually just a way of just being kind to yourself and acknowledging that you've come forward. Because whenever you fall back into the Grand Canyon and think negative thinking, you can get out your success journal and just look at everything you've done. And over time, it's a lot. Every day, it helps you realize that every day is connected to the next day and to the last day, and that you're on a journey, and it's not about this immediate stressor that you're having, that you can get through it. Helps you deal with stress.
Yeah. That puts a lot in perspective. Okay, and something else you were telling me that I want to check out, try out myself, just was a tool to help, you know, you consider how your life can be in balance, and it was a wheel. So what was the wheel?
I got this wheel from a girl that was a counselor. She gave like a free talk, and this is what I got out of her free talk, and I didn't realize its importance. But I remembered it and then realized the importance. So it was a seed that she planted that bloomed. And once I gave myself this 10-year timeline and I just started, you know, struggling through every day, and growing and starting this journal, I started really looking for tools to help me, people to help me, tools to help me, things like this. So here's a tool that I found early on that really helped early on, and it still helps me. I think it's called a life wheel, and you can look it up on like images through Google. It's called a life wheel, and I think one institution that really pushes for it is Integrative Healing Institute. I think that's the name of it. So I'll talk about the wheel. Whenever at first, I didn't really know what to do. I just knew that I kind of wasn't happy in my career. I didn't know how I was going to make money or get the things that I wanted. I didn't know how I was going to end up playing music more, because that was something that I knew was going to make me happy. But I didn't know how to break those big wishes into small actions. And the life wheel, I just dawned on me to do it. And so I did the wheel, and it's like a pie chart that has, I don't know, 10 to 13 different sections, different pieces of pies in one pie. And it breaks it down into sections like, health, nutrition, spirituality, wealth, career, education, family, play time, stress mastery, and I think there might be a romance one or a relationship one, 'cause it doesn't have to be romantic, but working on your relationships is part of the balance. So what you do is you get this life wheel, and you fill it out in the sense that you kind of put dots on the wheel, or you color it in, and you gauge where you're at. Like, for instance, for me, my wealth and my thinking of wealth was always like really low. Like, if you want to compare it, like, it's a 1 out of 10. So I would just fill it in my pie chart a little bit on the bottom. And then my spirituality, I always considered it like a 9. And so you just fill it out for everything. And I realized that a 9 isn't necessarily a good thing on this pie chart, because the goal isn't to be, you know, off the chain with spirituality. The goal is to be in balance with everything. So what you could do is, if I use that as an example, is you can take some of the energy that you're putting into your spirituality and put it into wealth. And this helped me because I didn't realize that those other parts of my life were important. Just like maybe a person who's an accountant who works all the time doesn't realize, you know, that maybe spirituality is important, or stress mastery, or relationships, or things like that. And likewise, I was really low on things like career and but even play. I just wasn't playing. I was just stressing out all the time, so I really wasn't playing at all. I wouldn't relax and watch a movie. It didn't exist for me. And then so looking at the pie chart, I was able to see what was high and what was low. And I could take the energy from the high parts. Like, nutrition was always really high. I just always was focusing on nutrition to take my depression away. And instead, I took a lot of the energy of that I was spending in the kitchen cooking or researching new supplements or whatever. And I took, you know, a portion of that energy and shoved it into the other areas that needed attention. And it gave me direction on what to do that day. Okay, so I'm not going to research supplements for the next 2 hours. I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to call up this friend and I really don't feel like seeing them, but you know, they're a good friend. They're non-judgmental and stuff. It'll be a good thing for me to go get a cup of coffee or tea with them for an hour. It won't hurt. But at the end of the day, I feel more balanced. You know, it might have been difficult for me with social anxiety or whatever have you, to go see my friend and go into public and take away from my researching this cure that doesn't exist for, you know, depression or whatever. And it actually got me to balance my life more. And at first I was doing the life wheel. I would refill it out every 2 to 4 days because I started to change so rapidly that I wanted to fill that thing out to see where I was. You can't fill the life wheel out in your head. You have to put it onto the piece of paper and it becomes a map for your day, for your week, for your month. And it just started pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. And I actually got more intricate with it. I would take each section of the pie chart and actually write out a paragraph, anywhere from a paragraph to a page, talking about that one area of my life. And I just really needed that. I needed to become aware of what was going on. So definitely really helps in the first steps when everything just feels really dark and you want to shed light on what's going on. It's a great tool to have.
Yeah, thanks for telling us about it.
My pleasure.
And thank you for being with us. I would like to have Whitney back for a future podcast to speak about nutrition. We just figured that could be a whole other subject, but it relates because it's something that has helped her a lot. So, well, we'll be curious to hear that. I know I will. And she mentioned in this episode having called suicide hotlines. I see here in the USA, in America, where I live, there are a couple numbers, and I'll just give those to you. 1-800-SUICIDE, which the numeric is 1-800-784-2433, and 1-800-273-TALK, which is 1-800-273-8255. And at the time that I'm recording this, it appears on the web, a good resource could be suicide.org. So www.suicide.org. I see to the right, at least when I view it to the right of the page, it has those phone numbers. And it also to the right below those numbers has a box you can click that says suicide hotlines. When I click it, it opens up a variety of choices for different states. Although at the top, there's also a portion to click that says click here for international hotlines outside of the United States. So it may be different depending on where you are opening or viewing this, but there is the way to get numbers for a variety of countries. I see them when I click on that says click here for, well, it says click here for international hotlines. Well, be blessed. As I record this, we are approaching the new year, and I know a lot of times we're thinking in terms of having a new me, a new you. Well, how about we have a true me and true you, and really realize that perfect peace and great joy truly are yours. So have it in your life. Like I say, be blessed, and I will be back with you soon.